蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
热情好客是某些民族的特点，还是全人类的特点呢？有的时候我忍不住在想，创造宇宙的上帝是不是也有热情好客、款待客旅的属性呢？这里是良友电台的中英文双语节目蓝天绿洲 Haven Today， 我是乐心。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. We're in a series this week called Love Your Neighbor.
Howdy neighbor, howdy, get out and come right in
He died in Nashville, but he was from West Plains, Missouri. Howdy, neighbor, howdy. Country and Western artist Porter Wagoner, first released 1964. I think this song is a great example of what we call Southern hospitality in America. And we're talking about Christian hospitality, which is more than just entertaining and having friends over for dinner.
Because I know a lot of people say, well, I'm good at getting people in my house, but how do I turn the conversation to Jesus? And I think that what's been very helpful for us is that Kent has always been a very consistent leader in that way, that at a certain point...
It's just what you do as a family.
It's just what we do.
Every day.
Yeah. When the dishes get passed up to the head of the table for the kids to take to the sink...The mugs of coffee and the Bibles get passed down the table. You know, I mean, it's an assembly line. And you know, we've had neighbors say, what kind of strange ritual is this? But we've actually never had people like run and screaming in fear.
And hide.
Never. Yes. We've done this for years.
That is Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. She was a literature professor of feminist and queer studies at Syracuse University. I've got the title right there. But the Lord used the hospitality of a pastor and his wife to invite her to dinner and eventually lead her to Jesus.Rosaria will join us again in a moment to share a couple of stories about what hospitality can look like in our homes and in our lives. And then we're going to look to God's Word to see how Jesus provided the best example of hospitality.
Rosaria 刚刚的分享想必呢也是许多人心目当中想提出来的问题。是的，我愿意打开家门邀请朋友来家里吃饭聊天。可是吃完了之后我该怎么进入下一个阶段邀请他们学习圣经呢？他们会不会觉得很奇怪而不愿意再来了呢？我们必须承认的就是，无论我们以哪一种方式传福音，邀请朋友来家里做客也好，和他们出去看电影也罢，或者呢是一起打一场篮球赛，最后呀我们都要经历 transition 转型的阶段，就是从消遣娱乐转入到圣经学习的主题。然而这个转化的过程会不会因为我的拙口笨舌而弄得很尴尬很冷场呢？乐心，我觉得我们里面的那份的惧怕很大程度上是魔鬼制造出来的，它让我们专注在自己的有限上面，让我们去听那微小的声音说，我们算什么呢？怎么可能说一两句话就能解释清楚神的话语呢？怎么可能讲一次福音就能够带别人信主呢？这个声音平常的时候不怎么会出现，一旦我们有想传福音的冲动和这样的意识的时候呢，它就马上会冒出来了。我算谁呀？我想上帝造我们人类是有灵性的，这是很奇妙的。正是因为我们有灵性，所以呢，我们在人与人的互动当中可以感受到气氛的不一样，感受到对方的情绪发生了变化。所以呢，如果你在和你的朋友聊天吃饭之后呢，你开始讲福音的故事时，如果这个时候你紧张了害怕了，那么对方也就能够通过你的眼神还有你的肢体语言察觉到你的紧张和你的害怕。 同样的道理，如果你是充满着喜乐和信心的来讲神就是爱的信息，对方呢也能够从你的表情还有你语调的起伏当中感受到信仰相信上帝这回事原来是可以给人如此大的喜乐以及平安的。如果你觉得对方感到尴尬了，可能呢是你自己先感到尴尬了，如果你觉得对方被你冒犯了，很有可能是你自己先感觉到被他冒犯了。在这个过程里，我们一不小心就听信了魔鬼发出来的欺骗人的搅扰的声音，从而呢就放大了自我的感受，而使得福音的分享出现了一个接一个的破口。你在跟同事朋友之间传福音的事上有什么心得是可以与我们分享的呢？欢迎发送短信来告诉我们，我们的号码是13229966122。在编辑短信的前面呢，请你注明蓝天两个字。我们现在呢就先来听首诗歌 Casting Crowns 的 If We Are The Body， 之后呀就进入到 Charles 的分享。
It's crowded in worship today as she slips in trying to fade into the faces the girls teasing carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his
of Hymns of Faith, Glorious Day, that's Casting Crowns, and If We Are the Body, here on Haven Today. And I'm Charles Morris, and the program we're calling Love Your Neighbor. And back with us from North Carolina is Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. And now I want you to hear a story that Rosaria shared with me about how the Lord used a traumatic event in her family's life. Because she was already friendly and hospitable with her neighbors, the Lord used this event for His glory in a most unique way.
You know, a couple of years ago, we came home after doing a speaking event on hospitality. And we came home, and immediately we knew something was wrong. The house had been ransacked. Our golden retriever had been beaten up. All of the family, you know, my mother had just moved to a retirement home, which is a great, you know, praise God for that because she wasn't home during this time. But all of the jewelry that she had left for me had been stolen. My engagement ring was stolen because I had been doing some gardening that morning and I didn't put it on because I, you know, was always afraid I'd lose it in garden dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to realize that while we were talking about loving the stranger actually ransacked our house and stole our goods and beat up a dog that we had raised from mitten size. And it was really tragic. I mean, it was really scary. It was frightening. My children were frightened. I was frightened. And we decided at that moment, or Kent did, you know, after we did the things you have to do, right? We
yes, yes.
Called the police and, you know, all the things. But, you know, our house had always been the house where people gather. So later that night, people started coming. And they were bringing food. I certainly wasn't making food that night. And
the word got out then, what had happened.
Oh,
to
yeah.
You.
So, oh, the word got out.
God's people were coming to offer you some solace.
God's people and our neighbors, and our neighbors who do not know the Lord. We had maybe 20 people here. You know, you might not think, well, the night you're robbed would be a great night to, you know, have a dinner party, but you know, it was a great night to have a dinner party.
It brought you the comfort.
Exactly. We were not giving, we were receiving. But because our house had already been set up to do that, it was normal.
It was normal to have people over, even after her house was broken into and many of her neighbors didn't know Jesus. But they were able to see how the Butterfields could trust in the Lord even after their house was ransacked. That was Rosaria Butterfield, and I'm Charles Morris here on Haven Today, and we'll hear another story from Rosaria in just a moment. When I hear that word hospitality, more often than not, I think entertainment. But we've been hearing from Rosaria a biblical way to love our neighbors. It means we need to drop our pretensions about having it all together and letting people in. It means we pursue those people we know might hurt us or abuse our kindness in the end. In other words, it means loving as we've been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, this is the third day in this series that we're calling Love Thy Neighbor. I want us to look at the Lord's hospitality in Scripture. From the very beginning, He's been with His people in a radically yet ordinary way. Of course, the creation of the world was not ordinary. It was an extraordinary display of the Lord's power, power to speak light into darkness, power to call planets into existence. Yet the Lord also planted a garden. He brought Adam and Eve into it, and He let them oversee it. It was the Lord's garden, but Adam and Eve got to live there and fully enjoy all it had to offer because the Lord had granted them access. The Lord prepared a place for them. But unlike when we entertain, it wasn't to invite them over for a meal and then walk them to their car afterwards. It was to welcome them in to live there as if they owned the place. The garden, we could say, came with a house key. The Lord was with them day to day, and they were enjoying the hospitality every day. Of course, we know the end of the story. Adam and Eve, deceived by Satan, began to believe that they did own the place. It was like Rosaria's story. They took what was not theirs. And when the Lord returned, He didn't do what He could have easily done. He didn't cast them out of His presence forever. He loved them, even in their sin. And He left them a promise that one would come and make right what they had done wrong. Yes, they had consequences, but the promise of restoration is the main focus here. Remember who it was against? Satan. Satan is the only one in Genesis 3 that receives a curse and no blessing. Adam and Eve received a curse, the negative consequences of their own sin, but they also received the blessing of a promised Savior. The Lord tells them that I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Scholars call this the first gospel. Even though we have abused the Lord's generosity, his hospitality, he loved us and sent Christ to crush Satan. And Peter the apostle tells us that Christ suffered for us to bring us to God. God prepares the place, and he's with his people as they live. This was exactly Israel's experience. The Lord saved his people with a mighty outstretched arm, Scripture telling us. What that means is he crushed Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea as Israel walked through on dry ground. In Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 12, the people of Israel are reminded that the promised land has been prepared for them. They're coming into cities they didn't build, groves and orchards they didn't plant. The Lord had prepared it for them, and he was sending rain to make it a lush place flowing with milk and honey. Yet again, the Lord walked with his people for 40 years. The Lord wasn't preparing the people for an entertainment get-together. He was with them. I'm sure there were boring, ordinary days in those 40 years wandering in the desert. The Lord was there for them, for every one of them. The Lord called his people out of Egypt to be with them every day as they learned what it means to walk by faith in him. He was with them in their tabernacle, and there in the pillar of cloud and smoke by night. And when they came into the land, he was with them. They were rebellious, yet he was with them. They abused his generosity, and he was with them. Of course, there were negative consequences for their sins, but the Lord was with his people day after day. Well, this is our experience, isn't it? For those of us who have trusted in Christ Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for us, he has given us a promise in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right now, he's preparing that place. That needs to sink in a little bit in us. At this very moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing this special place for us. Now, I don't think that means he's got his heavenly hand tools out, but whatever he is doing, he's doing it in preparation for us. But he isn't somewhere far off calling us to dinner. He's promised us in Matthew 28:20, I am always with you. He is with us in our day-to-day struggles. In our radically ordinary lives, he is with us. He's preparing us a place, and he is with us. The Christian life is enjoying the radically ordinary hospitality of our Lord. He loved us while we were still sinners. He knew that we would continue to struggle to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, yet he did not spare his own son for us. And as the Apostle Paul says, how will he not freely with him give us all things? We can be radically generous in our ordinary day-to-day lives because the Lord has been so generous with us. Gospel hospitality isn't about grand gestures in the hope to spark radical change. It's living with the Lord and living with others day to day, trusting him to bring us all home to the place that he has prepared for us.
谢谢 Charles 的分享。 在听完他说的之后呀，乐心我才意识到， 热情款待的最完美的榜样就是我们的神上帝了。是他主动邀请我们进入他的家伊甸园，也是他供应了我们一切的所需，也是他在我们一次又一次不领受他的美意之后，他仍然坚持不懈地来寻找我们。是他在我们因罪的工价乃是死的结局之中救赎了我们。他的应许， 与我们同在直到世界的末了。想想，我们每一个人不需要这样的应许呢？上帝最热情款待我们的，就是把他的独生爱子赐给了我们。如果我们诚实一点的来说的话，无论我们怎么热情款待别人，都会或多或少的保留自己认为最珍贵的东西，不愿意给出去。但是 爱我们的上帝，他不是这样子的。他爱我们，爱到一个地步，宁可把自己的儿子也舍了。我突然想到， 每次当奉献袋传到我们手中的时候，有的时候呢，要么就是我们早就计划好了这次要给多少，不多不少的小心翼翼地放进奉献袋里。有的时候呢，我们慌慌张张地把揉在口袋里的一堆纸币在来不及整理好之前呢，就快速地扔进了奉献袋。当然也有更好的情况，就是我们一早预备好了，甚至故意把那个钱换成了新的，装进信封里，恭恭敬敬地放进奉献袋里。但是其实说真的，奉献袋里缺的既不是你预备妥当的十分之一，也不缺你额外剩下来的那个数字，神要的是我们的全人都归给他。换句话来说，当奉献袋传到你这里来的时候，不是我们给多少钱，而是我们整个人跳进去，完全的把自己给神才是真的。招待客旅，服务邻居，向他们传福音，是从互动互助开始的。他要求我们乐意慷慨的给予，给出去并不是我们天然的性格里会有的特点，但是拿进来却是牢牢的刻在我们每个人的血液里。乐心，我后来在思考这个问题的时候呢，渐渐的就发现，一个人的慷慨程度跟他的经济能力并没有必然的关系。一个愿意付出的人，在各个方面都愿意慷慨的给出去的人，他一定是经历到了被上帝浇灌的生命。因为被上帝丰盛供应的充满，他就是那么的有得着，那么的喜乐，那么的迫不及待的想要分享出去。他想把福音的好消息讲给别人听，他想把自己从神那里得到的美好的供应分出去一些，因为那是在给神的信实做见证的绝佳机会，而他又怎么可能允许自己错过那个机会呢？并且在他给出的同时，他是那么的坚信他不会因此就缺乏了。他深知道他的供应者既不是别人，也不是自己，而是坐在高天宝座上的神。如果我们每天都能够花些时间来思想赐生命的粮的耶稣，来思想赐活水的耶稣，那么我们在款待客旅的事上呢，也就会有多一些的动力，是一个属神的动力。
Rosaria Butterfield shared another story with me that really highlights this point. It's about a new mom who didn't have much time, but the time she made for her neighbors was special.
You know, I have a friend from church who's a young mother, and she hears some of these stories of hospitality, and she thinks it's hilarious because at the same time I'm setting the table, you know, she's putting kids to bed. But she did this amazing thing. I think it's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard of.
Mm.
She moved to a neighborhood, and when she moved there, she made handwritten cards for all of, she noticed a bunch of strollers, thought, well, other people have to be having kids here. You know, other people have kids here too.
Mm-hmm.
She invited all of the neighbors in the cul-de-sac to come over at 10 a.m. on Monday to hear Bible stories and to sing songs. They used, you know, Dana Dirksen's wonderful catechism music. And you know, the first time one neighbor came, and then the next Monday, a few more neighbors came. And then because she was consistent with it, it was just every Monday at 10 o'clock. Because she was consistent with it, people could come and go, you know, as they could. It's very hard for young mothers to schedule appointments. You never know if somebody's going to be sick or, you know, any of that. So that particular event or that particular activity, regular activity, has become a ministry with her unbelieving, her formerly unbelieving neighbors saying, well, you know, my daughter is now singing Bible songs and my husband and I would like to learn more. How do we do that? And they also became a care group. You go to the grocery store, I'll watch the kids. So there's more hospitality action going on at 10 a.m. in my friend's house, I think, than there is, you know, at my house at 7 p.m. It's amazing how lonely, you know, how lonely it is sometimes to be a young mother.
Mm.
And it's lonely with Christ, but it's really lonely without Christ.
Mm.
It's hard to lean in to the task that is before you. And that's what my friend did. She gave people through her hospitality a way to see the glory and the goodness and the power of that.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where.
On they go through private pain, living fear to fear.
Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears.
这个就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的全部节目内容了。爱我们的灵舍，这是我们这个系列的第三集节目，非常谢谢你的收听。听完之后如果你有任何感受的话，记得可以发短信13229966122来和我们说一说的。短信的开头请你加上蓝天，那乐声有 Charles 呢就在明天的同一时间和你继续在良友电台的蓝天绿洲不见不散。愿神祝福你，拜拜。
For sharing life with one